Parshas Veschanan is obviously very dramatic, very tragic, very heartrending to see Moshe Rabbeinu, the man who dominated all of the Torah, certainly from Parshas Shmos, and it's called Toras Moshe, begging for entry into Eretz Yisrael. Now, the two primary features of this encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, number one, the importance, the role, the power of tefillah. So, for example, the Medrash, very famous statement of Rabbi Yochanan, there are 10 lashonos of tefillah, and he lists them, which just reminds us, of course, that tefillah is not a monochromatic experience, and there are different types of tefillah for different emotional states of the human being, and no one tefillah or no two tefillah should be similar in terms of their emotional pivot or the emotional experience. And the Medrash lists the 10 languages: Shava, Tsa'aka, Na'aka, Rina, Pigia, Bitzor, from the Lashon of Batsar, Kriya, Nipul, Pilul, Tachanunim. Having listed all of them, Rabbi Yochanan concludes that Moshe Rabbeinu employs the language of Tachanunim to highlight the fact that no man, even Moshe Rabbeinu, deserves anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is always supplicating and petitioning for free chesed and undeserved opportunities. Va'eschanan, from the word chinam. Medrash continues that Moshe Rabbeinu himself desires this type of response, that even though he may have deserving merits, he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu's matnas chinam. He wants bichunaka. He wants chen, chanun, v'eschanan. And this has to do, of course, with the very famous Medrash, which I've spoken about. We quote in the first night of Slichos, and Moshe Rabbeinu sees treasures in Shamayim, oriented, reserved for various people of merit, but he sees one large treasure, and he asks Hashem, who is that reserved for? And Hashem says, those that don't deserve it, I deliver it to them volitionally. And Moshe says, I crave that type of interaction with Hashem. Again, based on the pasuk, V'chanosi es asher achon, V'richamti es asher arachem, I will deliver chinam, free, chanosi, to those I choose, even though they don't deserve it. So certainly, one pivot of this story is the experience of tefillah, the different languages of tefillah, the centrality of tachanunim, of eschanan. The other pivot is, of course, Moshe's love for Eretz Yisrael and the tragedy of him standing on top of Har Nevo or Har HaVarim and watching the land and looking at every aspect or every detail of this topography and not being allowed entry, and the great desire of Moshe Rabbeinu, to the point that Chazal, the Medrash, cites the pasuk in Tehillim Perek Lamites, that bitochos al avon yisarta ish, because of a sin, you chastise a man, refers to Moshe's very slight but portentous and fateful sin at the Mei Meriva, vatemes ka'ash chamudo, and you dissolved, immediately you dissolved the you dissolved his desire, his coveting, chamudo. Chamudo is the desire, the chamud, Eretz Chemda, that Moshe had such a desire and such a covetousness to come into Eretz Yisrael. So those are really the two dominant elements on display: Moshe davening on behalf of entry into Eretz Yisrael, and we're pushing the limits of tefillah. Even Moshe Rabbeinu can't be confident about the success of his tefillah. But there really is a third undercurrent to this whole saga, and it's an undercurrent which the Medrash teases out. And it speaks about, forget the tefillah aspect and how successful Moshe's tefillah was or wasn't, and forget what he was davening for. If you zoom out and take a 10,000-foot view of this whole experience, you learn a lesson about the mortality and the transience of man. And the lesson is delivered principally through the experience of Moshe, the greatest of men. And Moshe serves as a warning is too harsh a word, it's a lesson about how even man, despite his great potential and talent and opportunity, his time on this earth is passing, his influence is fleeting, his experience is transient and ephemeral. Sounds very similar to, of course, the section in Tfilas Musa for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Adam Yisodom Yafar V'Safal Yafar V'Nafshar Yavi Lachmo Mashal Kecheres HaMishbar Kitzitz Novel Kitzel Over Kechalom Ya'uf, a passing shade, a drying flower, and an elapsed dream, or a dream which dissipates rather quickly. And there are two points in the Medrash, each highlighting a different sub-aspect of not counting on the eternal durability of human beings. And it's a theme which repeats itself throughout Tehillim, throughout our davening. I will just quote probably the most famous, because we recite it every day in our davening, right after Ashrei, the Mizmor that begins, Halali Nafshi Es Hashem, Al Tiv Techu V'Nedivim, don't trust the wealthy, Beven Adam She'in Lo Teshua, people that have no long-lasting redemptive capacity, Teitzei Rucho, their spirit departs, Yashuv Li'ad Maso, they will return to the ground, Vayomahu, that day, Avdu Eshten Osav, his strength and his influence will all disappear. And it takes Moshe Rabbeinu as the greatest man to ever live to be the perfect, almost foil, to remind us that even Moshe Rabbeinu has his day and passes into the history book, so to speak, and cedes his place to others, even Moshe Rabbeinu. And in part, Chazal used that pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Tes, the conclusion of the pasuk, "B'tachachos alavon yisarta isha temes kas chamudo," you chastise people, you've dissolved all their desires. Ach! Hevel kol adam, sounds like Koheles. Hevel havelim kol havel. Another interesting pasuk, more specific about how times change and different people play different roles in history. From of all places, Daniel, Perek Beis, where Daniel is asked about interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and he begins his pursuit of the decoding of the dream. It's all in Aramaic, so I'll just paraphrase. Yishem Hashem mevorach min olam b'ad olam asher chachma v'hagvura shalohi. He attributes all of the wisdom to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then in Parak Beis, Pasach Chavaleh, V'hu Mishaneh, I'll read it in Aramaic, V'hu Mahashne Idonaya V'zimnaya, which could be loosely translated into, he changes and alters the times and their generations and the time continuums. Mehade Malchin U'mahake Malchin, switches kings. It sounds a lot like the beginning of Maariv. Hashem controls time, and by definition, since human beings live within time, their time comes and goes. And this is the Medrash that almost laments the fall of Moshe. And it describes the fall, Rav Acha describes the fall in very dramatic terms. He was once a godlike person. I'll present you to Paro as a godlike person, and now he has to beg for entry. And Rabbi Ovin, a slightly different parable, to a man who was so influential, had spheres of influence, he was a president, he was a prime minister, he was a king, you could appoint, you could fire. And all of a sudden, at a later stage in his life, people see him begging for entry into the king's palace and being refused, and everyone is shocked. Hayu akol tmehim v'amrin etmol haya mimane duchsin ifarchin v'istar telitin. Yesterday he was appointing influential people, and at this point, he's begging the gatekeeper for entry. Amru lahem. So people are flabbergasted, and the response is, Sha'ata avras. His time has passed. Or, again, in the language of Daniel, the Aramaic, Mehashne idonaya. The time has passed. And this medrash doesn't even speak about Moshe's sin. It just speaks about Moshe's mortal. And as influential and impactful and ascendant as Moshe was, every human being is fated to pass from this world. Not just to pass, but to lose at some point their influence and their prestige. And it reminds us that sometimes we get too caught up in our leaders and their influence, and people of influence. And it's all just a small phase of life and a passing transitory experience. And every once in a while, it's important to remind ourselves of, first of all, our own mortality, to create healthy pressure for performance and accomplishment and change. And then, of course, the mortality of human beings and the passing nature of human influence. And Tov lachzos b'Hashem b'toach b'adam, Tov lachzos b'Hashem b'toach b'nedivim, not to get too caught up in human acquired or human leadership and influence. And obviously, we celebrate people that take real leadership roles, but sometimes we disproportionately fear or acknowledge people who assert leadership, and sometimes we're intimidated by their leadership, and it takes a parsha like this to remind us of the folly of imputing too much importance to passing influence. And then there's a sub second sub-drama, not just the passing nature of human achievement and the fleeting nature of human influence, but the fact that by submitting and subjugating your identity to the Jewish people, you do gain a level of immortality, a level of verticality, that you live your life for more than just yourself. And that does crown human experience with a more surpassing and eternal content and durability. And Moshe no longer plays that role. So his entry into the palace, so to speak, is barred, not just because man comes and goes and rises and passes, because since he's no longer the leader, he's lost his ticket of entry. And it's not just practical, do you enter Eretz Yisrael, do you enter the palace, but once he's no longer the leader, his interaction with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer necessarily as ascendant and as surpassing as it was before. This is the second read of the Medrash, it's a little bit further. This is Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Lecha Tzadik, he talks about Eov, I'll just read the part about Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm sorry, I don't know if it's Rabbi Yochanan quoting it, it's a Davar Acher. But the parable is to a matron, a woman, who gives birth to a child, and the child is fated for glory, and he becomes appointed or promoted in the king's court. Kol yamim shebona kayam, when the child is still alive, ha'isen echneses beplatin bizar, she can enter the palace at will, because it's her son, and the son is very influential. Meis bena, if the child passes, hitchila mevakeshes likanes betrinos, then she has to beg her way in. The parable here is the Jewish people are the children, and as long as they're in the desert and they need Moshe's leadership, Moshe Rabbeinu can actually command Hashem, and the Medrash lists several languages by which Moshe Rabbeinu actually issues commands to Hashem. Kum Hashem yefutzu yivecha, lam Hashem yechrepcha b'yamecha, sana laslachna lavon ham hazeh. But now that the child has died, not really the Jewish people have died, but his generation has died, and it reminds us that he was hitched to a generation, and part of the reason he was replaced was not just because of his sin, but because the new generation was no longer compatible. His leadership wasn't compatible with that new generation. So his child has died. There's a new child, but that's no longer his child. And that new child calls for a different type and a different personality of leadership. So his child has passed, and now he has to beg his way in to an audience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Eschanan. So it's a slightly different spin, an important different spin. One speaks about the general, in a universal sense, the general transience and ephemeral nature of human experience and of human achievement. The other speaks about being able to transcend mortality and reach a level of immortality by serving a larger historical trajectory, but Moshe's historical trajectory or Moshe's ability to serve is no longer that compelling, and therefore he has to beg his way into the palace. And that's really the third dimension to Veshanan. The two most prominent and most popular people are directly offered access is the power of tefillah and desire for Eretz Yisrael. But there's a sub-conversation about human experience and human mortality.